Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Bottomed, my friend.
How are you? How are you, Bradley?
That was Bottomed. A hell of a...
Yeah, you're going well. That was a hell of a round, both men and women. There were some amazing things.
Let me get straight into it. Yeah, we've got round 6 of the WNBL coming up and round 10 of the NBL. Now, we did tell everyone we had a special guest, and and we still do, but it's coming next week.
Well, we just
too much to talk about. You just said it's a she.
Well, that doesn't mean anything in today's world.
Yeah. What are we allowed to call them that? Okay, moving on. Let's start with the WNBL round 5 we are talking about. Buddy, there was an upset. There was a massive upset.
Because Perth. They didn't just beat Melbourne. They flogged them.
On home soil.
Yes. Yes.
All right, let's go straight there. I've got to talk about it. Can you believe that the Perth Lynx beating the Melbourne Boomers on Sunday are unbelievable?
I can believe it because we've said it, and when it happens, we shouldn't be shocked that any team can beat any team if they bring their A game, the other team brings their B game.
True.
And I thought they had it won pretty much at halftime, and then this is the part that impressed me most about the Lynx, is they weathered Melbourne coming back and tying it up, and the last quarter the score was at 55-56. Mm. You know, the Melbourne were right there, and then Perth managed to just motor away from some big shots from a bunch of different people. And, it was a huge victory in the end. But I've got to say, I don't think I've seen Melbourne shoot more poorly. 22%, Brad, in the first half. That's your sort of numbers.
Yeah. Wait, I was never that high. Don't be stupid. 22 seconds is what I was on the court for. Look, kudos goes to Ari McDonald, 21-9. Annalie Maley, 17-17 rebounds. Yeah. You're right. Weathering the storm was what the key was. For Melbourne, look, that's a kink in the armour. You're not too worried about that. But still, just a bit of a shock. And, you know, we have seen when teams lose one, it's interesting how they follow up, and we are massive fans of the coaching staff. Mm. So I would expect them to have a terrible week of training
They play each other again this week, but this time in Perth. So there's a very, very interesting quick chance for retribution.
And that'll tell us where teams are at as well.
That will give us a much better idea. Because you've got a perspective.
Well, I'm going to go back to when it started now in the round. I think that was Wednesday or Thursday night. Who knows? But it was in Townsville, and I watched that game. Yep. And the Townsville Fire did enough to beat Adelaide. We expected it to probably be, well, I did expect it to be a bit of a bigger scoring margin.
Absolutely.
And I got to play credit to Adelaide, man. They came out and they did everything they could. But in the end, Townsville were just too good in the end.
Yeah, just got too many weapons. Yeah. But, I mean, they beat Adelaide by 20-plus in Adelaide. Yeah. So for Adelaide to go up there and only lose by 6 and really be in the game, the 6 might even be a little kind to Townsville
because it was
nothing, you know, there was nothing in it that game. So that's a fine performance by Adelaide. And I think to then come back and jumping over again, but to play Bendigo at home. Now, I did predict that Bendigo was going to win that. If Kelsey Griffin plays, they'll win. If Kelsey doesn't, it might be a different, right? But that one went to overtime. So that was, again, that's a really good effort by Adelaide, really, in a second leg, flying down back from
Something tells me I think I did pick Adelaide. I can't remember. And I did that on the back of what you were saying. It's so hard because, A, you wanted to see if Kelsey was going to play in that game. And, B, you wanted to see how Adelaide went up in Townsville. So two of those things. So it is a difficult one, but staying on that game, okay, Townsville got the win in the first one. But I thought, you know, Bendigo did what they needed to do and were good enough to get the win.
I guess what I'm saying about Adelaide is that's two losses that are going to hurt because that's two more figures in the L column, but they were not bad performances. That's what I'm getting at. Sort of thing. There's a bit to build on if they can hang around a little bit, and then they still got Steph Talbot to come back, and they could come home with a bit of a wet sail.
Well, the other game, we've moved around a little bit from when they actually played, but let's talk about the Southside Flyers. Pretty comfortable over the Caps. We didn't really expect anything different, really, did you?
I didn't. That one went pretty much to script. So.
Yeah, that was probably the only one, if you call it, of what went. But looking at the ladder, obviously the Fire at 5-1, Boomers at 5-1, and then there's, you know, it's very tight, but when you go down to Adelaide now and the Caps, Adelaide 2-5, Caps 0-6, that's where you said those two losses for Adelaide really hurt. Even if you split that, you're 3-4, but now to be 2-5, it's a big, it's a big climb in not a very big season games wise.
Did you have a moment in the round that you particularly liked?
Look, I got to give it to Annalie Maley. I thought those three-pointers in the last quarter that she did, that's not really a moment. It's a couple of moments, but if I call that,
it broke the back.
Yeah, it really was as good as they tried. That was like, nah, you haven't got it. So I've got this. So to me, the moment goes to Annalie Maley. I thought she was great. What about you? Yeah.
Oh, my moment actually doesn't really amount to a lot, but at the end, it was at the tail end of regulation between Adelaide and Bendigo, and Izzy Borlase looks for the three. They're down 58-59, looks to take three. Kelsey Griffin blocks it. Mm. The ball's loose. Borlase runs it down. This is what second effort is all about. Picks it up, throws it up, puts it in. It's 60-59. They're ahead. They should win, but Ali Wilson hits a free throw, sends it into overtime. But I just really appreciated that moment with Borlase. You know, like following up. Okay, I've been blocked, but I'm not out of this play. Tell me, player of the round. Have you got a player of the round for the women?
Look, I can't go against Zakina Okuso. I thought what she did in that game was fantastic. And she was just that steadying influence for them that they needed to get over in a very pesky, probably Adelaide was probably the right words to use. So I thought she was great.
If you look at Brianna Turner and Michaela Roof, they probably cancelled each other out.
Yeah, they did.
So now the difference in the game was Zatina. So
they needed
I'm
that
going
one
with that
person. What was your player of the round?
Mine was Ari McDonald. She's up against Jordan Canada. It's a battle of the two of the WNBA point guards.
Yeah.
She's come out with 21 points, 9 assists,
that's a
five
great
rebounds.
Run, Canada has been a standout, let's be honest.
She's been MVP leader, I would think.
MVP, 100%. Yeah. So, good one. All right. Well, before we leave the WNBL, I want to talk about next round. Okay. Yep. So there's a number of games going on this week. Six games, actually. So give me your tips. Adelaide at home to Sydney. Man, toss a coin.
Sydney had a week off. They had a week to sort of pull it all together. Now they got test matches settled in. They got their big three.
I agree
tests,
with you. I mean,
George,
if you would have asked me this a month ago, I would have said Flames, no worries. But I tell you, I hope they show what we know they can do. But
Thinking Sydney, but would be with Adelaide, but I'm thinking Sydney.
Big weekend for Sydney because they play the two bottom teams and they need two wins. So, we'll go to the next one. Perth at home against Boomers. I'm going to go the Boomers to match up after I know Chris Lucas too well, the way he coaches, and Christy Harrower is an assistant, to be able to say they're going to come back really angry. But, geez, man, I'm not doing that with a lot of conviction. You?
No, because Perth go back home now very confident we can beat this team. But you've got to remember, they shot extremely well.
Can you do that for another 40
and
minutes?
Can you do that? Yes, exactly. So I'm tending to lean towards Melbourne. Canberra, Sydney, I think the next game is a relatively easy one.
Yeah,
I think
Sydney.
You go, again, Canberra plays great, but falls short.
Southside versus Bendigo. Talk to me that one.
Oh, geez. You know, I like Bendigo. I like Bendigo.
I'm going Flyers at home. Purely home court advantage, although it's not that much. I don't know. That's a tough one. Yeah.
It's a tough trip. There's a lot of
come on,
tough
don't sit on the fence. Who you got?
I'm going to say there's a lot of tough road trips as we've been hearing. So driving from Bendigo to Dandenong, that's called. Well, sorry, that
who schedules
of town,
this in. You're from Adelaide. You're from Adelaide. So who are you going for?
I'm going to take a punt. No, I'm going to go with Flyers. I'm going to go with Flyers.
All right, and don't call me that. Adelaide at home versus Perth. I just can't see Adelaide beating Perth in what I think they'll lose in game one, Perth. I think they'll bounce back in game two.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, but this is another one of those scenarios where you'd really like to see the Perth-Melbourne game before you.
Horrendous road trip.
And the Adelaide
game. They're going to have to get up early to fly.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because someone has to bring their child along to start screaming at six so they can get up.
Capitals at home versus Townsville. Sorry, hang on. Who'd you go, Adelaide or Perth? I went Perth. Who'd you go?
Yeah, as I said, I'd like to see the first game, but right now when we're talking about Perth, but I might be a bit
stop
different
sitting
later on.
On the damn fence, because then what
I'm
happens?
Not sitting on the fence.
Just to our listeners, right? What happens here is he's like, we then speak before we come on air, and we're like, he's like, oh, I got them all right, mate. You're picking there's six games, you're picking 12 teams, right? You're like, if I see this one, I reckon this one. Well, you just
all I'm
damn
saying
team.
Is my website is more up to date than our podcast can be. So you know, if there's an injury happens later, I can actually accommodate that.
Mate, you guys can't see me, but I've got my thumb. coming against my middle finger here. Do you know what that is, buddy? It's the smallest violin in the world. Yeah,
That's an old joke. You know, you'd have to get up pretty early in the morning. And catch a 4 a.m. plane.
I don't play for Adelaide 36ers. I don't get up that early. All right.
City of churches, we sleep in here. All right, last game.
Capitals versus Townsville. We're both going for Townsville.
All right.
Great job. Hang on. Yes, we did do that. Moving to the NBL, what a round. All right.
Yeah, so absolutely fantastic.
Really good round.
Let's start with moments and players, because that's the standout. The player of the round to you was?
Player of the round. Oh, sorry. Don't be stupid. Oh. Bryce Cotton. Come on. You can't. Absolutely. And there's no way anyone can go against that. 41 points. I mean, look, I don't want to say there's trouble in Kingdom, but we'll come back to that in a second.
There's a couple of assists in there too, wasn't there?
Yeah, he was outrageous.
Seven, nine,
yeah,
something like
he
that.
Was,
yeah.
He was just phenomenal. He took it upon himself to said, no, I'm not going to do this. I've got this. What do you have? 41, 5 and 7.
Now, right, just quickly, he missed his first five shots. Now, you know, I know if you missed your first five shots, you probably wouldn't take the sixth.
Mate, what are you talking about? That took me 9 games.
But my point here is that his confidence wasn't affected. He just goes, all right, I'm a great shooter.
Do you know what I love about it? He 41 points from 27 shots, right? He's going to go and ice his elbow after that one. But what I love is the fact that he shot 16 free throws. So what that tells me is, you know, beginning of the year, I don't think Bryce was shooting as many free throws as he is now. So what that tells me is he's playing, he's humming, and they're humming. And the reason I say that is because if he's getting to the free throw line, yes, we all know that he gets a lot of those three-point the way he goes. But like, to give you an example, I'm going to go way back when Perth lost to Brisbane, I think like it was round 5, he shot 6 free throws. Right. So what I'm saying, he's in the groove and he's doing those things. And what that does, that tells me he's in the game. If he's getting to the free throw line, he's in the game mentally. And I love it.
What I'm saying is John really has changed what's going on, because when he was doing that, going poorly early, we had Usher, we had Corey Webster, we had a bunch of guys in that starting lineup that all wanted to shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Corey Webster's out of the rotation, Usher's coming off the bench. Uh-huh. There's been adjustments made. There's a couple of guys like Hyrum Harris, you know, and Christian Doolittle's found his game. You know, there's a lot to like about the way they've made their adjustments. And of course, then Bryce resumes his position as the preeminent player in the league. And Jesse Wagstaff too.
Yeah, how good was Jesse? Just knocking it. And you know, I love when he hits that big three and then Bryce's fist in the air pumping and stuff like that.
Because they know.
They know exactly. Obviously, we very rarely try and go player of the round and we go one against each other. But there's just no way you can have anyone but Bryce.
Let's go
back a couple of days prior, because that was, you know, jumping to Friday night. Let's start with Thursday night. New Zealand Breakers getting the win over the Adelaide 36ers by 13, with Modi Mayer getting thrown out from the referees where they told us they were going to come out and be strict.
Look, I am in complete agreement with that. All right. Mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong here. I'm in complete agreement that the coaches are out of hand. Some of the, you know, because they're mic'd, sometimes you can hear what they're saying. It's pretty colourful language and it's not appropriate. And they're way over the line. I have no problem with the referees coming down hard on that. And also players. God, there's a handful of players, and we can both name them if we think about it, that never do anything wrong. They've always got to go and get to the referee. Explain that for me, please, because I think that, you know, that stuff needed to be cut out.
Yeah,
so I'm all for that. But I thought the Modi Mayo one at halftime was an overreaction. I thought he's gone after the refs because it's a 15-6 foul disparity.
Yep.
And it was pretty ordinary, I've got to say. And he maybe stepped over the mark, probably did. Give him one tech and send him off on his way.
Yeah.
Give him two. Come on.
Look, I am going to jump in here because it's obviously – you know, I hear a lot what goes on, especially when I'm commentating, because I am sitting right on those coaches, right?
Yeah.
I do feel there's I do feel there's got to be that happy medium, right? We want the coaches being aggressive. Out there. I don't, you know, like, we love the fact, but it can't step over the line. And that's really what they're trying to get at. And I know they will fix this. They will get along. Now, I'm not going to say
some of these guys haven't just stepped over the line, mate. They've leapt over the line. They were way over.
100%. And that's where Modi's probably like, hang on a sec. I've said nothing all year, which, you know, I mean, all coaches have said something, but I've said nothing all year. You throw me out, but I know it sounds really bad, but we may look back at that and go, that was the right thing, because it actually made, you know, John really got a tech early in that game on Friday night. He was then nowhere near that way because he knew, shit, I better not get another one.
That's right.
I'm gonna get thrown out. So on one way, I think the referees will be sitting back in the NBL going, see, it did help.
Yeah,
right.
But on the other,
at least New Zealand got the win. I'm happy about that, you know.
But see, so, you know, in the Cairns game, you see Adam Ford doing the zip across the lip.
Yes, yep, I did see that, yep.
Yeah, yeah. I think John really possibly could have got a couple more tech fouls retrospectively for Trevor Gleeson.
Boom, boom. Oh, moving to the game one on Friday night. Cairns losing at home against Brisbane. I think we picked Brisbane, did we not?
Yeah, and Brisbane had the shakes there towards the end. You know, they stumbled. Yeah. They're 20 up in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Come on, you know, that's and it but for a couple of little plays that didn't quite come off for Brisbane. Yeah.
Look, Chris Smith's been good. I like what Chris Smith's being. I think the worry for them at the moment is Sobes. They got two wins this weekend. It's great. Sobes is not playing at the level that he's accustomed to at that, you know, MVP title, just in these last few games.
Hats off to Justin Schuller. He's not going well. He's sitting him down.
That's called coaching. He played 27 minutes. Now, mate, there is no worries about Sobey. He will come good. We know that, right? But it just wasn't working that game. So, you know, I thought Josh Bannon was great. But, you know, for Cairns, they just look like a team that hadn't played enough. You know, Miller's back, Taron Armstrong, Tajir McCall. They just seemed to have to get that sync, and it didn't seem to be great. I know McCall had 29 in the game, but they just didn't seem 100% like they did when they went to Melbourne United. Let's go straight to that game. What a win.
That was phenomenal. But, you know, some of the seeds of that were there in the Brisbane game. Like, that was the first time Adam Ford had given Josh Roberts his third import. Yep. And most people, if you did a trivia contest, would not be able to name their third import prior to this weekend. Gave him a few minutes against Brisbane. He started to look good. Started him up against United. And I reckon that would have thrown Dean Vickerman completely.
Can I also say as well, I love the fact that he started Jonah Antonio. Just a different look. A guy that's a knockdown shooter. He only played 16 minutes, Antonio, and scored 7 points, but it was different. Taron's come off the bench and had 10 points and a couple of assists. I like what he did. Yeah,
I do too. And I think Josh Roberts was a real big key to it because he was a new wrinkle that they hadn't seen. He did the job on Joe Lualua-Chuu, or Japan Airlines, if you prefer, Brad, and also on Ariel Huck-Porty. You know, he got them both into a bit of foul trouble. It was a new wrinkle.
No, he's good.
I thought Adam Ford really coached his butt off, to be honest.
You know, I'm a big believer in someone actually, a couple of people have texted me and sort of said, put it on socials about how they agree with what I was saying, how there's a lot of coaches out there, and I'm not talking NBL, that they're not in great in-game coaches. And it's something, you know, but when you talk about these coaches that we're talking about, they're fabulous, man. I love what they, you know, even Dean Vickerman as well, but fantastic. John really did a good job. Melbourne, anything to worry about? No, nothing at all.
Just a hiccup. And if you listened to last week's program, I sort of said there's a moment where you won a couple of games with players missing where you've really had to play your heart out, and you have a week off, you sort of mentally exhale, somebody gets you. But I don't think.
Let's go to Southeast Melbourne Phoenix versus New Zealand, who had to get up early and travel to Australia to play the Phoenix. Are we ever going to finish this? I don't think so. But
anyway, that was a good result for Southeast Melbourne. We both said on air they absolutely have to win this game to be considered anything. If you can't get New Zealand when they're down, well, when are you going to get them? One thing I just want to touch on,
I thought that was a very interesting Mitch Creek's comment after the game and how he was talking about this mental health stuff going on.
Sure.
And as someone, and I openly say this, went through pretty hard times after I retired, thinking why the coaches didn't play me more. No, I'm joking.
I know you've had a lot of plastic surgery, so it's all worked out well.
So, but someone who did struggle with life after basketball because I didn't know where I was heading and what was going.
Yeah.
Not during, can I say, but afterwards. And when I see players like that, geez, it hits my heart. And I just hope anyone, I'm not suggesting him, I hope people talk about it. I hope they say things, they do what they've got to do, because if it wasn't for me talking and my family and my then girlfriend, now wife, you know, I got them to thank for everything, but I was able to talk about that. And now, these days, it's a million times worse with social media.
Oh, social media.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So I've got
so many people that troll because they just want to. They want to be offended by something. 100%. It's ridiculous. You just got to ignore them.
I just hope, I mean, he's come across that he is okay. I hope he is. But, you know, to anyone out there, make sure you talk.
Just sidebarring where you went away from Mitch and back to you. Mm. There's a lot of players that when they finish their playing career, having started as juniors, gone through, played semi-pro, then pro, suddenly it's all over, that really are left in a quandary because that adrenaline rush, the camaraderie, is gone.
I can tell you that when I retired, as terrible as this sounds, I would watch the Kings play from my home because I'm not on the road anymore with the sweatiest palms. And deep down, there was a couple of times I just hoped they didn't win. Right. And the reason you want that is because you want them to feel like they missed you or something.
It's human nature.
Absolutely. And it pained me to think of the club that I wiped the floor at when I was 12 and just absolutely adored, and all I ever wanted in my life was to play for the Sydney Kings, that I could think that way. And then, you know, I had guys like a Matty Nelson and Aaron Trehair and Scotty McGregor who were in the Kings, but then like Bruce Bolden, who was at West Sydney, and all these guys, and Stephen Whitehead, all these guys that I was very close to, Brad Williams as well, still playing in the league. And geez, I missed being around that. I so missed it. So
I missed it too, because, you know, you started off wiping the floor and they enjoyed trainings where they could wipe the floor with you. So they probably missed you as much as you missed them. Move on now. We've got Brisbane, Illawarra.
Brisbane about Illawarra. We didn't talk Jackie Jumpers. Absolutely destroying Adelaide, and we've spoken about it. Moving on to Brisbane versus Illawarra. What a good game that was.
Absolute thriller. I think Illawarra blew their chances of winning. Yes. They got 73-69 up in the last quarter, halfway through the last quarter, and then Isaac White took it at him. He stole the ball, went to the length of the floor, and went right at Sam Froehling. Now, we're talking about maybe the smallest guy on one team and possibly the biggest guy on the other team. And Sam Froehling was a very soft defense. I don't know whether he's in foul trouble, but White goes to the hoop, makes the shot. Next time, he leads out on the wing. Tyrell Harrison's got the ball, simply just back cuts Tyler Harvey, who's you know, second nature is to not play defense at the best of times, for a layup, and we've got a tied ball game. Whereas they had it at their mercy at that point and couldn't deliver the punch, unfortunately for them. But I like the way they're playing. I really do like the way. Justin Tatum shortened the rotation, which we all wanted to see.
Eventually.
I mean, I love Dan Greeter, so not seeing him play bothers me, but he shortened the rotation. He's getting aggressive play.
I'm a huge fan of Dan Greeter, so that surprises me. But, you know, like when you're winning, I guess. But can I just say, Brisbane, 16 points in the fourth quarter against Cairns, 13 points against Illawarra.
Yeah, jeez, lucky to hold him.
They got some hippie chippies, don't they, in the fourth?
They've got the hippie chippies. Okay, moment of the round. We've done that. We've done play of the round. What's your moment of the round? Did you give
My moment of the round, I did give it. No, I haven't. Chris Golding's pass. What about that? That backdoor little man. If anyone hasn't watched it, get on there. Assist of the year by far. Just like turned around, did a little whoopsie daisy and behind the back. And it was brilliant. What was your best moment?
Well, that would have been it, but you stole it again, just like you did Bryce Cotton. So I'm going to move on to Tyrell Harrison, because Gary Clark drives to the basket.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Illawarra trailing 77-78. We're right there on the siren. Tyrell Harrison just raises his hands, takes a great defensive stance, takes the contact. Clark misses the shot. No call. Exactly how it should have been reffed. And hats off to Tyrell Harrison for doing the right thing, not being tempted to sort of move forward to swat, which may have led to free throws, whatever. Oh, and let me just add how wonderful it was that when the siren went and everyone was about to celebrate and walk off the court, the grandmaster of time.
I was waiting for this.
Mabry runs up and goes, no, everybody stop. I think there could be 0.1 of a second to go. All right. Okay. Well, yeah, next time we need more coaches' challenges, because I didn't get enough screen time.
Moving on. Before we go to your Nodge Nasty, you may have just had it, not sure. Give me your tips for this week. Cairns at home versus Sydney, Thursday night.
I'm going Cairns.
Yeah, I think I have to as well. Friday, I'll be down there, Illawarra playing Perth. I'm expecting a good show from Illawarra. This will be an interesting one.
Yeah, that's,
but I am going Perth.
Yeah, you've got to go Perth because they're rolling. But but let's just put that caveat that we would not be surprised if Illawarra got up on this one.
There he is, sitting on the fence. New Zealand versus Tassie.
Jesus,
New Zealand. But I wouldn't be surprised. New Zealand.
No, New Zealand versus Taz. I'm just saying, if you're an Illawarra fan, don't be afraid to put a bit of money on them. I would if I was an Illawarra fan, but I'm not. New Zealand versus Taz. I think they're two of my favourite teams, so I'm going for a draw. But ultimately, I'm not going to sit on the fence, Brad. I'll go Taz.
Yeah, I got to go Tassie. Adelaide at home versus Cairns. Oh, man.
Well, they've got to bounce back. The good thing about Adelaide is they're all going to have set their alarms. They're all going to get up at the same time. They're all going to get to the game at the same time. So they're all rested and relaxed, going to get a massage before they go out so everything's perfect. And then they're going to go and play. And they're going to shock Cairns by only losing narrowly.
I'm going to go for a major upset in calling Adelaide to beat Cairns.
Good for you.
Don't ask me why. Melbourne at home versus Brisbane. Melbourne to bounce back and win that one.
Correct.
Yep. Sydney at home versus South East Melbourne Phoenix. I'm going to say the Kings to get a win at home.
I think so too. The only problem for them is it's the second game of a weekend and South East Melbourne come in fresh. Because you know how important it is to come in fresh.
Yeah, yeah,
you don't want to come in, you know, when the schedule's taken it out of you because you've had to, you know, get on a bus or a plane or maybe a bus two or taxis. Oh, look, it's a nightmare being a professional sportsman.
While you're saying that, why don't you just go with your Nodge Nasty, please?
Well, okay. Look, it's a double thing. My Nodge Nasty is that it was ridiculous after that pathetic performance where they scored 23 points and a half, Adelaide, 59 in the game, for them to say, oh, that's got something to do with the schedule. I'm sorry, I got one word for you, two syllables. The first one's bull, and the second one rhymes with pit and starts with sh, because that is a nonsense. They should have gone into that press conference and apologise for their pathetic performance. Getting up early doesn't mean you sit on the bench when you're an older player and you're muttering and or your assistant coaches are jumping up and down around you all the time, as they were with CJ Britton. They were a disaster, and that had nothing whatsoever to do with the schedule. To blame the schedule is to not take responsibility for how piss poorly you're going and not facing up to the facts. So, yeah, I'm that's
BOTINAGY.com, BuddyNodge.com. Hey, shout out. Hang on, before you do that, shout out to Chuck Harmison. If you haven't seen his tweet.
Thank God someone's come out and said what needed to be said. But look, that was only half of it. The other one, the other half of my nasty is the Modi Mayor tech. Okay, I thought two techs was too much. I thought one should have been enough. But I also think, in watching the umpiring, you know, we don't want the umpires to be abused, but we do want the umpires.
Did you just say umpire?
Umpires. Watching the umpires.
How old are you? They're referees, mate.
They're officials. How old are you? They're officials. Okay. So
I know what I'm officially. I'm officially over you.
I'm going to say this. It would be easier to support that if they were better. And I think it's important that every referee, this is every referee, should be playing basketball at some level, should be playing socially somewhere so they get a feel for the game. Because some of the crap they call, you go, look, if you were a player, you wouldn't have called that. You'd understand that when someone sets a screen and someone else bounces off it, that's just life. You don't now call a foul on the screener because someone else bounced off. You know, you actually should be, a teammate should be abusing his teammate for not telling him the screen was coming, that sort of thing. I think referees should play social basketball. That should be a requirement to do NBL. Give me your Rosen Rattler.
The longest Nodge Nasty of the season. Well done. My Rosen Rattler goes
out. You didn't get a guest.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we just had one on. Jeez, the history. Josh Roberts. Huge shout out to Josh Roberts. There is a player, an import, that could have just turned around and go, I'm not playing. Bugger you, mate. You know, like, put me on. This is ridiculous. I want to be released. He came out and, without it being disrespectful, saying, you should have bloody played me and I'm ready to play and this is what I do. No talking, didn't mention, no media, no anything, not on social media, not complaining that I had to get up early or anything like that. Just came out and said, I'm playing. And he was tremendous in both games. So a shout out to me, Josh Roberts. Well done.
Love it. Goodbye. See you next
week. We're done. Thank you, everyone. Have a fantastic week. Look forward to catching up next week when we will have a special guest on.
Sure we will. If not, we'll just rave on a bit longer. Ta-da.
See you next week. Body, sorry I was a bit out of it today, man. I just had to come from, like, I had to go to the kitchen to get something to eat, off to my bedroom,
then get
into the office to come here. So I just had a terrible schedule today.
I know, it's shocking. But, you know, you did okay, considered, because I was going to apologise to you, because I had to get up during the night three times to go to the toilet, and I'm just not myself.